none of the fair. Hold on to your hats when you see the incredible, miserable man. Gasp at the horrific horror of the horrible, harassed woman. Tremble in terror at the lover who cannot stop talking about his love. Shrink in disgust at the ululations of unrequited love, a love that constantly speaks its name. Step inside and look at these freaks of love, but beware their rumours touch you not, or you may too be infected. Lift up your ears and listen, and you will hear Play of Love.
Whoso that looketh here for courtesy, and seeth me seem as one pretending none, but as unthought upon thus suddenly approach the midst among you every one, and of you all saith nought to any one, may think me rude. My manner is to muse and to devise, so that some time myself may carry me myself know not where. And I assure ye, so hath myself done now. For our Lord, what where I am, or what ye be, I know not, or whence I came, or whither I shall. All this in manner as unknown to me, but even as fortune guideth my foot to fall, so wander I, yet wheresoever I be, and whom, or how many soever I see, as one person to me is every one, so every place to me but as one. And for that one person, every place seek I, which one, once found, I find of all the rest not one missing. And in the contrary, that one absent, though that there were here pressed all the creatures living most and least, yet lacking her I should, and ever shall, be as alone, since she to me is all. And alone is she without comparison concerning the gifts given by nature. In favour, fairness, and port as a person, no life beareth the like of that creature, nor no tongue can attain to put in ure her to describe. For how can words express that thing the full whereof no thought can guess? And as it is a thing inestimable to make report of her beauty fully, so is my love toward her unable to be reported. As who saith rightly? For my sole service and love to that lady is given under such abundant fashion that no tongue thereof can make right relation. Wherein I suppose this well supposed unto you all, that since she, perceiving as much of my love as can be disclosed, even of very right in recompensing, she ought for my love again to be loving. For what more right to grant when love love requireth than love for love, when love naught else desireth? But even as far worse as otherwise, then so stand I in case in manner desperate. No time can time my suit to ease my woe, before noon too early, and all times else too late. Thus time out of time mistimeth my rate. For time to bring time to hope of any grace, that time timeth no time in any time or place. Whereby till time have time so far extinct, that death may determine my life thus deadly, no time can I rest. Alas, I am so linked to griefs, both so great and also many, that by the same I say, and will verify, of all pains, the most incomparable pain is to be a lover not loved again.
Sir, as touching those words of comparison which ye have said and would seem to verify, if it may please you to stand thereupon, hearing and answering me patiently, I doubt not by the same incontinently yourself to see, by words that shall ensue, the contrary of your words verified for true.
Fair lady, pleaseth it you to repair near, and in this cause to show cause reasonable, whereby cause of reformation may appear, of reason I must and will be reformable.
Well, since ye pretend to be conformable to reason in avoiding circumstance, briefly by reason I shall the truth avance. Ye be a lover no whit loved again, and I am loved, of whom I love nothing. Then standeth our question between these twain, of loving not loved, or loved not loving, which is the case most painful in suffering, whereto I say that the most pain doth move to those beloved of whom they cannot love.
Those words approved, lo, might make a change of mine opinion, but verily the case as ye put it, I think more strange than true. For though the beloved party cannot love again, yet possibly can I not think, nor I think never shall, that to be loved can be any pain at all.
That reason, perceived and received for truth, from proper comparison should clear confound me. Between pain and no pain, no such comparison groweth. Then, ere I can on comparison ground me, to prove my case painful, ye have first bound me. To which, since ye drive me by your denial, mark what ensueth before farther trial.
Mm?
I say I am loved of a certain man, whom for no suit I can favour again, and that I have told him since his suit began 1,000 times, but every time in vain, for never ceaseth his tongue to complain, and ever one tale which I never can flee, for ever in manner, where I am, is he. Now, if you to hear one thing everywhere, contrary to your appetite, should be led, were it but a mouse, lo, should peep in your ear, or alway to harp on a crust of bread, how could you like such harping at your head?
Somewhat displeasant it were, I not deny.
Then somewhat painful as well said, say I. Displeasure and pain be things jointly annexed, for as it is displeasant in pain to be, so is it painful in displeasure to be vexed. Thus, by displeasure in pain, ye confess me, whereby, since ye part of my pain do see, in my further pain I shall now declare that pain by which with your pain I compare. Small were the quantity of my painful smart, if his jangling pierced no further than mine ears, but through mine ears directly to mine heart pierceth his words, even like as many spears, by which I have spent so many and such tears that, were they all red as they be all white, the blood of my heart had be gone ere this quite. And almost in case as though it were gone am I, except his suit take end shortly, for it doth like me even like as one should offer me service most humbly, with an axe in his hand, continually beseeching me gently that this might be sped, to grant him my good will to strike off my head. I allege for general this one similitude, avoiding rehearsal of pains particular, to abbreviate the time and to exclude surplusage of words in this our matter, by which example, if ye consider rightly my case, at leastwise ye may see my pain as painful as your pain can be. And yet, for shorter end, put case that your pain were oft times more sharp and sore in degree than mine is at any time. Yet will I prove plain, my pain at length sufficient to match ye, which proof to be true yourself shall agree, if your affection in that I shall recite may suffer your reason to understand right.
Ooh, no.
You stand in pleasure, having your love in sight, and in her absence, hope of sight again keepeth most times possession of some delight.
No.
Thus have you oft times some way ease of pain, and I never, no way, for when I do remain in his presence, in deadly pain I sojourn, and absent, half dead in fear of his return. Since presence nor absence absenteth my pain, but always the same to me is present, and that by presence and hope of presence again, there doth appear much of your time spent out of pain. Me think this consequent that my pain may well, by mean of the length, compare with your shorter pain of more strength.
Mistress, if your long pain be no stronger than is your long reason against my short pain, ye lack no likelihood to live much longer than he that would strike off your head so fain.
Ah!
Yet, lest ye would note me your words to disdain, I am content to agree for a season, to grant and enlarge your latter reason, admit by her presence half my time pleasant, and all your time as painful as in case can be, yet your pain to be most, reason will not grant. And for example, I put case that ye stood in cold water all a day to the knee, and I half the same day to mid-leg in the fire. Would ye change places with me for the drier?
Nay, that would I not, be ye assured.
Forsooth, and my pain above yours is as ill as fire above water, thus to be endured. Came my pain but at times, and yours continue still, yet should mine many ways, to whom can skill show yours, in comparison between the twain, scantly able for a shadow to my pain.
Mm-hmm.
Felt ye but one pang such as I feel many, one pang of despair, or one pang of desire, one pang of one displeasant look of her eye, one pang of one word of her mouth as in ire, or in restraint of her love, which I require, one pang of all these, felt once in all your life, should quail your opinion and quench all our strife. Which pangs, I say, admitted short as ye list, and all my time beside pleasant as ye please, yet could not the shortness, the sharpness so resist the piercing of my heart in the least of all these. But much it overmatcheth all your disease. For no wit, in effect, is your case displeasant, but to deny a thing which ye list not to grant, or to hear a suitor by daily petition, in humble manner as wit can devise, require a thing so standing in condition, as no portion of all his enterprise, without your consent, can speed in any wise this suit thus attempted never so long, doubt ye no death till your pain be more strong. Now, since in this matter between us disputed, mine admittance of your words notwithstanding, I have thus fully your part confuted.
Ha!
What can ye say now I come to denying your principle, granted in my foresaying, which was this. By the presence of my lady, I granted you half my time spent pleasantly. Although mine affection leadeth me to consent that her selled presence is my relief only, yet as in reason appeareth, all my torment bred by her presence, and mark this cause why. Before I saw her, I felt no malady. And since I saw her, I never was free from twain the greatest pain that in love be. Desire is the first upon my first sight, and despair the next upon my first suit. For upon her first answer, hope was put to flight, and never came since in place to dispute. How bringeth then her presence to me any fruit? For hopeless and helpless in flames of desire and drops of despair, I smoulder in fire. These twain being endless since they began, and both by the presence of her holy began and continued, I wonder if ye can speak any word more, but yield immediately.
That is as ye...
But I know my pains but these, yet clearly a thousand times more is my grief in these twain than that yours in all the case by which ye complain.
That is as ye say, but not as I suppose, nor as the truth is, which yourself might see by reasons that I could and would disclose, saving that I see such partiality on your part that we shall never agree. Unless you will admit someone indifferently to hear us, and so give judgment.
Agreed. For though the knowledge of all my pain ease my pain no whit, yet shall it declare great cause of abashment in you to complain in counterfeit pains with my pain to compare.
Oh.
But here is no judge meet. We must seek elsewhere.
I hold me content the same to condescend. Please it you to set forth, and I shall attend.
Yes.
By common experience, who can deny impossibility for man to show his inward intent but by signs outwardly? As writing, speech, or countenance whereby doth grow, outward perceiving inwardly to know, of every secrecy in man's breast wrought, from man unto man, the effect of each thought. These things well weighed in many things show need in our outward signs to show us so that plain, according to our thoughts, words, and signs proceed, for in outward signs, where men are seen to feign, what credence in man to man may remain? Man's inward mind, with outward signs to fable, may soon be more common than commendable. Much are we lovers, then, to be commended, for love his appearance dissembleth in no wise, but as the heart feeleth. Like signs always pretended, who feign in appearance are love's mortal enemies. As in despair of speed, who that can mirth devise, or having grant of grace can show them as mourners, such be no lovers, but even very scorners. The true lover's heart that cannot obtain is so tormented, that all the body is evermore so compelled to complain, that sooner may the sufferer hide the fury of a fervent fever than of the malady, by any power human he possible may hide the least pain of 1,000, I dare say. And he who in loving hath loathed to such luck that love for love of his love be found, shall be of power, even as easily to pluck the moon, in a moment with a finger to ground, as of his joy to enclose the rebound. But that the reflection thereof from his heart to his beholders shall shine in each part. Thus, be a lover in joy or in care. Although will and wit his estate would hide, yet shall his semblance as a dial declare how the clock goeth, which may be well applied in abridgment of circumstance for a guide to lead you in few words by my behaviour to know me in grace of my lady's favour. For, being a lover, as I am indeed, and thereto disposed thus pleasantly, is a plain appearance of my such speed as I in love could wish, and undoubtedly my love is requited so lovingly, that in everything that may delight my mind, my wit cannot wish it so well as I find. Which thing, at full considered, I suppose that all the whole world must agree in one voice, I being beloved, as I now disclose, of one being chief of all the whole choice, must have incomparable cause to rejoice. For the highest pleasure that man may obtain is to be a lover beloved again.
Now, God you good even, Master Woodcock.
Cometh of rudeness or lewdness, that mock?
Come, whereof it shall ye come of such stock that God you good even, Master Woodcock?
This losel by like hath lost his wit.
Nay, Master Woodcock, not a whit. I've known you for a woodcock ere this. Or else like a woodcock I take you amiss. But though for a woodcock ye deny the same, yet shall your wit witness you meet for that name.
How so?
Thus, lo, I do perceive by your former process that ye be a lover. Whereto ye confess yourself beloved in as loving wise as by wit and will can wish to devise, concluding therein determinately that of all pleasures pleasant to the body, the highest pleasure that man may obtain is to be a lover beloved again. In which conclusion, before all this flock, I shall prove you plain as wise as a woodcock.
And me think this woodcock is turned on thy side, contrary to courtesy and reason to use thus rudely to rail, or any word be tried in proof of thy part, whereby I do refuse to answer the same. Thou canst not excuse thy folly in this, but if thou wilt say aught, assay to say better, for this saying is naught.
Well, since it is so that ye be discontent to be called fool, ere further matter be spent, will ye give me leave to call ye fool anon, when yourself perceiveth that I have proved you one?
Yea, by my soul, and will take it in good worth.
Now, by my father's soul, then will we even forth. That part rehearsed of your saying all this, of all our debate the only causes. For where ye afore have fastly affirmed that such as be lovers again beloved stand in most pleasure that to man may move, that tale to be false truth shall truly prove.
What folk above those live more pleasantly?
What folk? Marry, even such folk as am I.
Being no lover, what man may ye be?
No lover? No, by God, I warrant ye. I am no lover in such manner meant, as doth appear in this purpose present. For as touching women, go where I shall, I'm at one point with women all. The smoothest, the smirkest, the smallest, the truest, the trimmest, the tallest, the wisest, the wiliest, the wildest, the merriest, the mannerliest, the mildest, the strangest, the straightest, the strongest, the lustiest, the least, or the longest, the rashest, the ruddiest, the roundest, the sagest, the sallowest, the soundest, the coyest, the cursedest, the coldest, the busiest, the brightest, the boldest, the thankfulest, the thinnest, the thickest, the saintliest, the surest, the sickest. Take these with all the rest, and of every one, so God be my help, I love never one.
Then I beseech thee this one thing, tell me, how many women thinkest thou doth love thee.
Sir, as I be saved by aught I can prove, I am beloved even like as I love.
Then, as appeareth by those words rehearsed, thou art neither lover nor beloved.
Neither lover nor beloved, that is even true.
Since that is true, I marvel what can ensue. For proof of thy part in that thou madest a font of both our estates to prove thine most pleasant.
My part for most pleasant may soon be guessed by my continual quieted rest.
Being no lover, who may quiet be?
Nay, being a lover, what man is he that is quiet?
Marry I?
Marry ye lie.
What? Patience, my friend, ye are too hasty. If ye will patiently mark what I shall say, yourself shall perceive me in quiet alway.
Say what thou wilt. And I therein protest to believe no word thou sayest, most nor lest.
Then we twain shall talk both in vain, I see. Except our matter awarded, may be, by judgment of some indifferent hearer.
Marry, go thou and be an inquirer. And if thou canst bring one anything lickly, he shall be admitted for my part quickly.
Now, by the good God, I grant to agree. For be thou assured, it scorneth me that thou shouldst compare in pleasure to be like me. And surely, I promise thee, one way or other, I will find redress.
Find the best, and next way thy wit can guess, and accept your nobs from Alice do need ye, make brief return, a fellowship speedy.
Love, 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 love.
My marvel is no more than my care is small, what knave this fool shall bring, being not partial. Till time I perceive this woodcock coming, my part hereof should pass even in mumming, saving for pastime, since I consider he being a lover, and all his matter to depend on love, and contrary I no lover, by which all such standing by as favour my part may fear me to wreak against the loving of this lover to speak, I shall, for your comfort, declare such a story as shall perfectly plant in your memory that I have knowledge in lovers' laws as deep as some dozen of those doting doors. For though, as I show, I am no lover now, nor never have been, yet shall I show you how that I once chanced to take in hand to feign myself a lover, ye shall understand, toward such a sweeting as by sweet sent saviour. I know not the like in fashion and favour. And to begin at setting in. First was her skin, white, smooth and thin, and every vein so blue, seen plain. Her golden hair, to see her wear her wearing gear. Alas, I fear to tell all to you, I shall undo you. Her eyes so rolling, each heart controlling, her nose not long, nor stood not wrong. Her fingertips so clean she clips, her rosy lips, her cheeks, gossips, so fair, so ruddy. It asketh study, the whole to tell it did excel. It was so made that even the shade at every glade would hearts invade. The paps so small and round withal, the waist not mickle, but it was tickle. The thigh, the knee, as they should be, but such a leg a lover would beg to set eye on, but it is gone. Then sight of the foot rift hearts to the root, and last of all, St. Catherine's wheel was never so round as was her heel. Yet over that her beauty was so much, in pleasant qualities her graces were such, for dalliant pastons pass where she should, no greater difference between lead and gold than between the rest and her, and such a wit, that no wight, I ween, might match her in it. If she had not wit to set wise men to school, then shall my tale prove me a stark fool. But in this matter, to make you meet to guess, ye shall understand that I, with this mistress, full late acquainted, and for love no whit, but for my pleasure to approve my wit, how I could love to this tricker dissemble, who in dissimuling was perfect and nimble, for where or when she list to give a mock, she could and would do it beyond the knock, wherein I thought that if I tryst her, I should thereby like my wit the better, and if she chanced to trip or treese me, it should to learn wit a good lesson be. Thus, for my pastime, I did determine to mock or be mocked of this mocking vermin, for which her presence I did first obtain, and that obtained, forthwith fell we twain in great acquaintance, and made as good cheer as we had been acquainted 20 years. And I, through fair flattering behaviour, seemed anon so deep in her favour, that though the time then so far past was, that time required us asunder to pass, yet could I no passport get of my sweeting till I was full wooed for the next day's meeting. For assurance whereof I must, as she bad, give her engage best jewel I there had, and after much mirth as our wits could devise, we parted, and I the next morn did arise, in time, not too timely, such time as I could. I allow no love where sleep is not allowed. I was, ere I entered this journey vowed, decked very cleanly, but not very proud, but trim must I be, for slovenly lovers have ye what well no place among lovers. But I thus decked at all points point device, at door where this trull was I was at a trice, whereat I knocked her presence to win, wherewith it was opened and I was let in. And at my first coming my minions seemed very merry, but anon she misdeemed that I was not merrily disposed. And so might she think, for I disclosed no word nor look, but such as showed sadly, as I indeed inwardly thought madly, and so must I show for lovers being rate, sometimes merry, but most times passionate. In giving thanks to her of other night, we set us down, an heavy couple in sight, and therewithal I fet a sigh, such one as made the form shake which we both sat on. Whereupon she, without more word spoken, fell in weeping as her heart should have broken, and I in secret laughing so heartily that from mine eyes came water plenteously. Anon I turned with look sadly, that she my weeping as watery as hers might see, which done, these words anon to me she spake.
Alas, dear heart, what wight might undertake to show one so sad as you this morning, being so merry as you last evening? I so far then the merrier for you, and without desert thus far the sadder now.
The self thing, quoth I, which made me then glad, the self same is thing that maketh me now sad. The love that I owe you is original, ground of my late joy and present pain all. And by this mean love is evermore led between two angels, one good and one bad, hope and dread, which two be always at strife, which one of them both with love shall rule most rife. And hope, that good angel, first part of last night, draw dread, that bad angel, out of place quite. Hope, swear I should straight have your love at once, and dread, this bad angel, swear blood and bones, that if I won your love all in 1 hour, I should lose it all again in 3 or 4, wherein this good angel hath lost the mastery, and I by this bad angel won this agony. And be ye sure, I stand now in such case that if I lack your continued grace in heaven, hell, or earth, there is not that he, save only God, that knoweth what shall come on me. I love not in rate all the common flock. I am no feigner, nor I cannot mock. Wherefore I beseech you that your reward may witness that ye do my truth regard.
Sir, as touching mocking,
quoth she,
I am sure, be you too wise to put that here in your, for neither give I cause why ye so should do,
for naught could ye win that way worth an old shoe. For whoso that mocketh shall surely stir this old proverb, mockum mockabitur. And as for you, I think myself assured that very love hath you hither allured, for which, quoth she, let hope hop up again, and vanquish dread, so that it be in vain to dread or to doubt, but I in everything, in cause giveth cause, will be your own darling. Sweetheart, quoth I, after stormy cold smarts, warm words in warm lovers bring lovers' warm hearts, and so have your words warmed my heart, even now that dreadless and doubtless now must I love you. Anon there was,
I love you,
and
I love you.
Lovely, we lovers love each other.
I love you,
and I for love love you. Love me, love thee, love we, love he, love she. Deeper love apparent in no twain can be. Quite over the ears in love, and felt no ground. Had not swimming hope in love, I had been drowned. But I swam by the shore, the vantage to keep, to mock her in love, seeming to swim more deep. Thus continued we day by day, till time that a month was passed away. In all the which time such a weight she took, that by no mean I might once set one look upon any woman in company. But straightway she set the finger in the eye, and by that same aptness in jealousy I thought sure she loved me perfectly. And I, to show myself in like loving, dissimuled like cheer in all her like looking. By this and other like things then in hand, I gave her mocks, methought, above 1,000, whereby I thought her own tail, like a burr, stuck to her own back, mockum mockabitur. And upon this I fell in devising to bring to end this idle disguising, whereupon, suddenly, I stole away. And when I'd been absent half a day, my heart misgave me, by God that bought me, that if she missed me where I thought she sought me, she sure would be mad by love that she ought me. Wherein not love, but pity so wrought me, that to return anon I bethought me, and so returned till chance had brought me to her chamber door, and hard I knocked. Knock soft, quoth one, who the same unlocked, an ancient wise woman, who was never from this said sweeting, but about her ever.
Mother,
quoth I,
how doth my dear darling?
Dead wretch, cried she,
even by thine absenting.
And without my words, the door to her she shut. I, standing without, half out of my wit, in that this woman should die in my fault. But since I could in there by none assault, to her chamber window I gat about, to see at the least way the course laid out. And there, looking in, by God's blessed mother, I saw her naked abed with another, and with her bedfellow laughed me to scorn as merrily as ever she laughed before. The which, when I saw and then remembered the terrible words that mother be rendered, and also bethought me of everything, showed in this woman true love betokening, myself to see served thus prately, to myself I laughed even heartily, with myself considering to have had like speed if myself had been a lover indeed. Sweetheart, quoth I, ye take too much upon ye.
No more than becomes me, know thou well,
quoth she.
But thou hast taken too much upon thee, in taking that thou took in hand to mock me, wherein, from beginning, I have seen thee jet like a fool might have jetted in a net. But well I saw thine intent at beginning was to bestow a mock on me at ending. When thou laughedest, dissimuling a weeping heart, then I with weeping eyes played even the like part, wherewith I brought in mockum mockabitur. and yet thou being a long-snouted cur could no whit smell that all my meaning was to give mock for mock as now is come to pass, which now thus passed, if thy wit be handsome, may defend thee from mocks in time to come by clapping fast to thy snout every day mockum mockabitter for a nosegay.
Wherewith she start up and shut her window too, which done I had no more to say nor do, but think myself or any man else a fool in mocks or wiles to set women to school. But now to purpose wherefore I began. Although I were made a fool by this woman concerning mocking, yet doth this tale approve that I am well seen in the art of love. But silence, every man upon a pain, for Master Woodcock is now coming in.
The old saying saith, he that seeketh shall find, which, after long seeking, true have I found. I have sought so far to my pain that at the last I have found and brought twain.
Mistress, you're welcome, and welcome ye be.
Nay, welcome be ye, for we were here before ye.
Setting this aside, let us set a broach the matter wherefore ye hither approach, wherein I have hope that ye both will be good unto me, and especially ye, for I have a mind that every good face hath ever some pity of a poor man's case, being as mine is a matter so right that a fool may judge it right at first sight.
Sir, ye may well doubt how my wit will serve, but my will from right shall never swerve.
Nor mine. And as ye sue for help to me, like suit have I to sue for help to ye, for as much need have I of help as yow.
I think well that, dear heart, but tell me how.
The case is this. Ye twain seem in pleasure, and we twain in pain, which pain doth procure by comparison between him and me, as great a conflict which of us twain be in greatest pain, as is between ye twain, which of you twain in most pleasure doth remain? Wherein we somewhat have here debate it, and both, to tell truth, so greedily grated upon affection each to our own side, that, in conclusion, we must needs provide some such as would and could be indifferent, and we both to stand unto that judgment. Whereupon, for lack of a judge in this place, we sought many places, and yet, in this case, no man could we meet that meddle will or can, till time that we met with this gentleman, whom, in like errand, for like lack of aid, was driven to desire our judgment, he said.
Forsooth, it is so I promising plain, they twain between us twain giving judgment plain, we twain between them twain should judge right again.
That promise to perform I not disdain. For touching right, as I am a righteous man, I will give you as much right as I can.
Nothing but right desire I you among. I willingly will neither give nor take wrong.
Nay, in my conscience, I think by this book, your conscience will take nothing that cometh a crook. For as in conscience that ever ye do, ye nothing do but as ye would be done to. O hope of good end, O Mary Mother, mistress, one of us may now help another. But, sir, I pray you some matter declare, whereby I may know in what grief ye are.
I am a lover not loved, which, plain, is daily not doleful, but my deadly pain.
Oh, a lover not loved? Oh, have you knit that knot?
Yea, forsooth.
Forsooth, ye be the more sot. Now, mistress.
Sir.
I heartily beseech ye, tell me what manner case your case may be.
I am beloved, not loving, whereby I am not in pain, but in tormentry.
Is this your tormentor? God, turn him to good.
Nay, there is another man on me as would, as this man on another woman is.
Ye think them both mad, and so do our budges. So mote I thrive, but who that list to mark shall perceive here a pretty piece of work. Let us fall somewhat in these parts to scanning. Loving not loved, loved not loving, loved and loving, not loving nor loved. Will ye see these four parts well joined? Loving not loved, and loved not loving, those parts can join in no manner reckoning. Loving and loved, loved nor lover. These parts in joining in likewise differ. But in that ye love, ye twain joined be, and being not loved, ye join with me, and being no lover, with me joineth she, and being beloved with her, join ye. Had I a joiner with me joined jointly, we joiners should join joint to joint quickly. For first I would part these parts in fleeces, and once departed these parted pieces, part and part with part, I would so part like part, that each part should part with quiet heart.
Sir, since it passeth your power that part to play, let pass, and let us partly now assay to bring some part of that purpose to end, for which all parties yet in vain attend.
I do desire the same, and that we twain may first be heard, that I may know my pain.
Good mistress, in your matter, since ye by haste in having furthest home would first be sped of that for which ye come, I grant, as he granted, your will to fulfil, you twain to be heard first. Begin when you will.
Mistress, as these twain us twain now grant first to break, since twain to be heard at once cannot speak, I now desire your grant that I may open first tale, which now is at point to be spoken, which I crave no whit my part to advance, but with the pith to avoid circumstance.
Speak what and when soever it please you. Till reason will me, I will not disease you.
Sirs, either here is a very weak brain, or she hath, if any, a very weak pain.
Oi!
For I put case that my love I her gave, and that for my love her love I did crave, for which, though I daily sue, day by day, what loss or pain to her if she say nay?
Yes, by St. Mary, so the case may stand, that some woman had liever take in hand to ride on your errand an hundredth mile than to say nay one paternoster while.
If ye, on her part, any pain define, which is the more painful, her pain or mine?
Your pain is most if she say nay and take it.
Sir.
But if that she say nay and forsake
Sir.
It, then is her pain a great way the greater.
Sir, ye allege this nay in this matter, as though my denial, my suture to love, were all or the most pain that to me doth move, wherein the truth is a contrary plain. For though too oft speaking one thing be a pain, yet is that one word the full of my hoping, to bring his hoping to despair at ending. Thus is this nay, which ye take my most grief, though it be painful, yet my most relief. But my most pain is all another thing, which though ye forget, or hide by dissimuling,
what?
I partly showed you, but all I could nor can. But, masters, to you, with pain of this man, that pain that I compare is partly this. I am loved of one whom, the truth is, I cannot love. And so it is with me, that from him in manner I never can flee, and every one word in suit of his part nips through mine ears and runs through my heart. His ghastful look, so pale that unneth I dare from mine ears cast toward him an eye, and when I do, that eye my thought presenteth straight to my heart, and thus my pain augmenteth. One tale so oft, alas, and so importune, his exclamations, sometime on fortune, sometime on himself, sometime upon me, and for that thing that, if my death should be brought straight in place, except I were content to grant the same, yet could I not assent. And he, seeing this, yet ceaseth not to crave. What death could be worse than this life that I have?
This tale to purpose purporteth no more but sight and hearing. Complaint of his sore is only the grief that ye do sustain. Alas, tender heart, since ye die in pain, this pain to perceive by sight and hearing, how could you live to know our pain by feeling? Mark well this question, and answer as ye can. A man that is hanged, or that man's hangman, which man of those twain suffereth most pain?
He that is hanged.
By the mass it is so plain.
Well said for me. For I am the sufferer, and ye the hangman, understand, as it were. These cases vary in no manner of thing, saving this serves in this. Man's hanging commonly is done against the hangman's will, and ye, of delightful will, your lover kill.
Of delightful will? Nay, that is not so, as ye shall perfectly perceive ere we go. But of those at whose hanging have hangmen by, how many have ye known hang willingly?
Nay, never one in his life by a lady.
In this, lo, your case from our case doth vary. For ye that love, where love will take no place, Your own will is your own leader, a plain case. And not only uncompelled, without allure, but sore against her will your suit ye endure. Now since your will to love did you procure, and with that will ye put that love in your, and now that will by wit seeth love such pain, as witty will love to refrain, and ye, by will that love in each condition, to extinct may be your own physician, except ye be a fool, or would make me one, what saying could set a good ground to sit on, to make any man think your pain thus strong, making your own salve your own sore thus long?
Mistress, much part of this process purposed is matter of truth truly disclosed. My will, without her will, brought me in love, which will, without her will, doth make me hove upon her grace, to see what grace will prove. But where ye say my will may me remove, as well from her love as will brought me to it, that is false. My will cannot will to do it. My will as far therein outweigheth my power as a sow of lead outweigheth a saffron flower.
Your will outweigheth your power. Then where is your wit? I marvel that ever ye will speak it.
Nay, marvel ye, mistress, thereat no wit.
Ah.
For as far as this point may stretch in verdict, I am clearly of this man's opinion.
And I contrary with this minion.
No.
Then be we come to a demurrer in law.
Then be ye come from a woodcock to a door. By God, it is no small conning, brother, for me to turn one wild fool to another.
Nay, masters, I heartily pray you both banish contention till you see how this goeth. I will repeat and answer her tale forthwith. The pith for your part whereof pretendeth a proof for your pain to be more than mine, in that my will not only did me incline to the same, but in the same by the same will I willingly will to continue still. And as will brought me and keepeth in this bay, when I will, ye say, will bring me away. Concluding thereby that if my pain were as great as yours, that I should surely bear as great and good will to flee my love thus meant, as do ye your suitor's presence to absent.
This tale showeth my tale perceived every dell.
Then, for entry to answer it as well, answer this. Put case, ye as deeply now did love your lover as he doth love you. Should not that loving, suppose ye, redress that pain which lack of loving doth possess?
Yes.
Well, since love given to him giveth yourself ease, then, except ye love pain, why love ye not this man?
Love him! Nay, as I said, must I straight choose to love him, or else my head here to lose? I know well I could not, my life to save, with loving will grant him my love to have.
I think ye speak truly, for will not be forced in love, wherefore the same to ye. Since this is to you such difficulty, why not a thing as difficult to me to will the let of love, where will my love has set, as you to will to set love, where will is your let?
Well said and put case. It is hard now be for you to will to leave her, as for me to love him. Yet have ye above me a mean to learn you, at length, to will to leave love clean, which mean many thousands of lovers hath brought from right fervent loving to love right naught, which long and oft approved mean is absence, whereto, when ye will, ye may have license, which I crave and wish, and cannot obtain.
Oh.
For he will never my presence refrain.
This is a medicine like as ye would will me, for thing to cure me the thing that would kill me. For presence of her, though I seld when may have, is solely the medicine that my life doth save. Her absence can I with as ill will, as I can will to leave to love her still. I wonder what shame suffereth you to compare with my pain, since ye are driven to declare that all your pain is but sight and hearing of him that, as I do, dieth in pain feeling. Oh, pain upon pain, what pains I sustain! No craft of the devil can express all my pain. In this body, no limb, joint, sinew, nor vein, but martyreth each other. And this brain, chief enemy of all, by the inventing mine unsavoury suit to her discontenting, my speaking, my hearing, my looking, my thinking, in sitting, in standing, in waking or winking, whatever I do, or wherever I go, my brain and mishap in all these do me woe. As for my senses, each one of all five wondereth as it can to feel itself alive, and then have love gotten all in one bed, himself and his servants, to lodge in this head. Vain hope, despair, dread, and audacity, haste, waste, lust, without liking or liberty, diligence, humility, trust and jealousy, desire, patient sufferance, and constancy. These, with other in this head, like swarms of bees, sting in debating their contrarieties. The venom whereof from this head distilleth, down to this breast, and this heart, it killeth. All times and all places of this body, by this distemperance thus distempered am I, shivering in cold, and yet in heat I die, drowned in moisture, parched parchment, dry.
Well, since ye have opened in this tale telling the full of your pain, for speed to ending, I shall, in few words, such one question disclose, as if your answer give cause to suppose the whole of the same to be answered at full. We need no judgment, for yield myself I will.
Oh.
Put case, this man loved a woman, such one who were in his liking the thing alone, and that his love to her were not so mickle, but her fancy toward him were as little, and that she hid herself so day and night, that sell time when he might come in her sight. And then put case, that one to you love did bear, a woman that other so ugly were that each kiss of her mouth called you to Jib's feast. Or that your fancy abhorred her so at least that her presence were as sweet to suppose as one should present.
A tear to his nose.
Yea, in good faith. Whereto the case is this, that her spiteful presence absent never is. Of these two cases, if chance should drive you to choose one, which would ye choose? Tell truth now.
In good sooth, to tell truth, of these cases twain, which case is the worst is to me uncertain.
First case of these twain I put for your part, and by the last case appeareth mine own smart. If they proceed with this first case of ours, then is our matter undoubtedly yours. And if judgment pass with this last case, in fine, then is the matter assuredly mine. Since by these cases our parts so do seem, that which is most painful yourself cannot deem. If ye now will all circumstance eschew, make this question in these cases our issue, and the pain of these men to abbreviate, set all our other matter as frustrate.
Agreed.
Then, further to abridge your pain, since this our issue appeareth thus plain, as folk not doubting your conscience nor cunning, we shall, in the same let, pass all reasoning, yielding to your judgment the whole of my part.
And I, likewise, mine with will and good heart.
Your cases, which include your grief, each whit, shall dwell in this head.
And in mine. But yet, ere that we herein our judgment publish, I shall desire you that we twain may finish as far in our matter towards judgment as ye have done in yours, to the intent that we, our parts, brought together thither, may come to judgment through thence together.
By lady, sir, and I desire the same.
I would ye began.
Begin then, in God's name.
Shall I begin?
Since I look but for winning, give me the end and take you the beginning.
Who shall win the end at end shall try. For my part, whereof now thus begin I. I am, as I said, a beloved lover, and he no lover nor beloved another, in which two cases he maketh his avaunt of both our parts to prove his most pleasant. But be ye assured by aught I yet see, in his estate no manner pleasure can be.
Yes, two manner pleasures ye must needs confess. First, I have the pleasure of quietness, and the second is, I am contented.
That second pleasure, now secondly invented, to compare with pleasure by contentation is a very second imagination.
Then show your wit for proof of this in hand. How may pleasure without contentation stand?
Aha! Pleasure without contentation cannot be. But contentation without pleasure we see in things innumerable every day. Of all which, mark these which I shall now lay. Put case that I, for pleasure of some friend, or something which I longed to see at end, would be content to ride 80 mile this night, and never would bait nor never alight. I might be right well content to do this, and yet, in this doing, no pleasure there is. Moreover, ye by patient sufferance may be contented with any mischance, the loss of your child, friend, or anything that in this world to you can belonging, wherein ye contented never so well, yet is your contentation pleasure, no dell. Ha!
These two examples, by aught that I see, be no thing the things that anything touch me. With death of my child, my being contented, or pain with my friend willingly assented, is not contentation voluntary, for that contentation cometh forcibly. But my contentation standeth in such thing as I would first wish, if it went by wishing.
Sir, be ye contented, even as ye tell, yet your contentation can neither excel, nor be compared equal to mine estate. For touching contentation, I am in rate as highly contented to love as ye see, as ye to forbear love can wish to be. Had I no more to say in this argument, but that I am, as well as you, content, yet hath my part now good approbation to match with yours, even by contentation. But contentation is not all the thing that I, for my love, have in recompensing. Above contentation, pleasures, feeling. Have I so many that no wight living can by any wit or tongue the same report? Oh, the pleasant pleasures in our resort. After my being from her anywhither, what pleasures have we in coming together? Each tap on the ground toward me with her foot doth bathe and delight my very heart-root. Every twink of her alluring eye reviveth my spirits even thoroughly. Each word of her mouth, not a preparative, but the right medicine of preservative. We be so jocund and joyfully joined. Her love for my love so currently coined that all pleasures earthly, the truth to declare, are pleasures not able with ours to compare. This mouth in manner receiveth no food. Love is the feeding that doth this body good. And this head despiseth all these eyes, winking longer than love doth keep his heart, thinking to dream on my sweet heart. Love is my feeder. Love is my lord, and love is my leader. Of all mine affairs in thought, word, and deed, love is the Christ cross that must be my speed.
By this I perceive well, ye make reckoning that love is a goodly and a good thing.
Love good? What ill in love canst thou make appear?
Yes, I shall prove this love at this time meant here in this man's case as ill as is the devil. And in your case I shall prove love more evil. What tormentry could all the devils in hell devise to his pain that he doth not tell? What pain bringeth that body whose devil's in that head, which ministers alway by love are led? He friseth in fire, he drowneth in drought, each part of his body love hath brought about. Where each to help other should be diligent, they martyr each other, the man to torment. Without stint of rage, his pains be so sore that no fiend may torment man in hell more. And as in your case, to prove that love is worse than the devil, my meaning is this. Love distempereth him by torment in pain, and love distempereth you as far in joy plain. Your own confession declareth that ye eat, drink, or sleep even as little as he. And he that lacketh any one of those three, be it by joy or by pain, clear ye see, death must be sequel, however it be. And thus are ye both brought by love's induction, by pain or by joy, to like point of destruction. Which point approveth love in this case past, beyond the devil in tormentry to have a cast. For I trow ye find not that the devil can find to torment man in hell by any pleasure mind, whereby, as I said, I say of love still. of the devil and love, love is the more ill. And at beginning I may say to Yao, if God had seen as much as I say now, love had been Lucifer, and doubt ye no wit, but experience now hath taught God such wit that if aught come at Lucifer other than good, to whip souls on the breach, love shall be the blood. And sure, he is one that cannot live long, for aged folk he what well cannot be strong. And another thing, his physician doth guess, that he is infect with a black jaundice.
No further than ye be infect with folly! For in all these words, no word can I espy, such as, for your part, any proof avoucheth.
For proof of my part, no, but it toucheth the disproof of yours, for where you alleged your part above mine to be compared by pleasures in which your displeasures are such that ye eat, drink, nor sleep, or at most not much, in lack whereof my tale proveth plainly each part of your pleasure a torment tree, whereby your good love I have proved so evil that love is apparently worse than the devil. And as touching my part, there can arise no manner displeasures nor tormentries in that I love not nor am not loved. I move no displeasures, nor none to me moved, but all displeasures of love throw me absent by absence whereof I quietly content.
Sir, where ye said, and think ye have said well, that my joy by love shall bring death in sequel, in that by the same in manner I disdain food and sleep, this proverb answereth you plain. Look not on the meat, but look on the man. Now, look ye on me, and say what ye can.
Nay, for a time love may puff up a thing, but lacking food and sleep, death is the ending.
Well, sir, till such time as death approve it, this part of your tale may sleep every whit. And where ye by absent displeasure would match with my present pleasure, ye seem more bold than wise, for those twain be far different, sure.
Is not absence of displeasure a pleasure?
Yes! In like rate as a post is pleased, which, as by no mean it can be diseased by displeasure present, so it is true that no pleasure present in it can ensue. Pleasures or displeasures, feeling sensibly a post, he know well, cannot feel possibly. And as a post, in this case, I take you. Concerning the effect of pleasure in hand now, for any feeling ye in pleasure endure, more than ye say, ye feel in displeasure.
Sir, though the effect of your pleasure present be more pleasant than displeasure absent, yet how compare ye with mine absent pain by present displeasures in which ye remain?
My present displeasures?
I know none such.
Know ye no pain by love, little nor much?
No.
Then shall I show such a thing in this purse as shortly shall show here in your part the worse. Now, I pray God, the devil in hell blind me. By the mass, I've left my book behind me. I beseech our Lord, I never go hence, if I would not rather have spent 40 pence. But since it is such, I must go fetch it. I will not tarry. Sir, the devil stretch it.
Farewell, Dorcock.
Farewell, Woodcock.
He is gone.
Gone, yea, but he will come again anon.
Nay, this night he will no more disease you. Give judgment heartily, even when it please you. Which done, sith he is gone, myself straight shall righteously between you give judgment final. But Lord, what a face this fool hath set here, till shame defaced his folly so clear, that shame hath shamefully, in sight of you all, with shame driven hence to his shameful fall, wherein, although I not gain by winning, that aught may augment my pleasure in loving, yet shall I win thereby a pleasure to see that ye shall see the matter pass with me. What though the profit may lightly be loaden, it grieveth a man to be overtroden. Nay, When I saw that his winning must grow by pain, pretending in my part to show, then wist I well the nodding must come to do as he did, or stand and play mum. All doubt of my pain, by his proof, by any mean, his running away hath now scraped out clean. Wherefore, give judgment, and I shall return in place hereby where my dear heart doth sojourn. And after salutation between us had, such as is meet to make lovers' hearts glad, I shall, to rejoice her in merry tidings, declare the whole rabble of this fool's leasing.
Water, water, fire, fire, water,
water,
water
and fire!
Fire!
Water,
water and fire,
fire!
Fire, fire!
Water and fire?
Nay, water for fire, I mean. Mm.
Well, thanks be God, it is out now clean. How came it there?
Sir, as I was going to fet my book for which was my departing, there chanced in my way a house hereby to fire which is burned piteously. But marvellously the people do moan for a woman, they say, a goodly one, a sojourner whom in this house burned is, and shouting of the people for help in this made me run thither to have done some good. And at a window thereof, as I stood, I thrust in my head, and even at a flush, fire flashed in my face, and so took my bush.
What house?
A house painted with red ochre, the owner whereof, they say, is a broker.
Oh, then break heart! Alas, why live I this day? My dear heart is destroyed! Life and wealth away!
What, man? Sit down and be of good cheer. God's body, Master Woodcock, is gone clear. Oh, Master Woodcock, fair mot before ye. Of right, Master Woodcock, I must now call ye. Mistress, stand you here afore and rub him. And I will stand here behind and dub him. Nay, the child is asleep. You need not rock. Master Woodcock! Master Woodcock! What folk be far within a man must knock. Is not this a pang, trow ye, beyond the knock? Speak, Master Woodcock, speak, parrot, I pray ye. My leman, your lady, I will ye see. My lady, your leman, one undertakes to be safe from fire by slipping through a jakes.
That word I heard, but yet I see her not.
No more do I, Master Woodcock, our Lord Wat.
And to that house where I did see her last, I will seek to see her.
Ah, there he goes. Well, you may burn together for all this, and do well enough for aught that is yet amiss. For God's sake, one run after and baste him. It were great pity the fire should waste him, for being fat, your knowledge must record, a woodcock well roast is a dish for a lord. And for a woodcock, ye must now know him, by matter of record that so doth show him. And briefly, to bring you out of doubt, all this have I feigned to bring about himself to convince himself, even by act, as he hath done here in doing this fact. He taketh more thought for this one woman now than could I for all the world, I make a vow, which hath so shamefully defaced his part, that to return neither hath he face nor heart. Which scene, whilst he and she lose time in kissing, give ye with me judgment a God's blessing.
The proof of my saying at my first entry, that wretch bringeth now in place, in that I lied, dissembling man's mind by appearance to be thing inconvenient, which thing, as I said, is proved now true. How was I dismayed by his force facing the death of my darling? Oh, whom I thank God is in health and aileth nothing.
Sir, I beseech you of all your dismaying, what other cause can ye lay than your loving?
My loving? Nay, all the cause was your lying.
What had my lie done if ye had not loved?
Oh, God, what did my love till your lie was moved?
By these two questions, it seemeth we may make your love and my lie to part evenly the stake. Hmm? loving and lying have we brought now hither, lovers and liars, to lie both together. But, put case my lie of her death were true, what excuse for your love could then ensue?
If fortune, God save her, did bring her to it, the fault were in fortune, and in love no whit.
The whole fault in fortune, by my sheath, well, it's God send your fortune better than your wit.
Well, sir, at extremity I can prove the fault in fortune as much as in love.
Then fortune in like case with love now join you, as I with loving joined lying even now, and well they may join all by aught that I see, for each of all three I take like vanity. But since you confess that your part of such pain cometh half by love, and that it is certain that certain pains to loved lovers do move, in which the fault in nothing save only love, as dread and jealousy, each of which with moe, to your estate of love is a daily foe, and I clear out of love, declaring such show as in my case no pain to me can grow, I say this, considered, hath pith sufficient in proof of my part to drive you to judgment.
Nay, first a few words, sir, though I confess that love bringeth some pain, and your case painless by mean of your contented quietness, yet the actual pleasures that I possess are as far above the case that ye profess as is my pain in your imagination under the pleasures of contentation. Thus wade how ye will, one way or other. If ye win one way, ye shall lose another. But if ye intend for end to be brief, join with me herein for indifferent brief. A tree. A tree, ye know well, is a thing that hath life, and such a thing as never feeleth pain nor strife, but ever quiet and always contented. And as there can no way be invented to bring a tree displeasure by feeling pain, so no feeling pleasure in it can remain. A horse is a thing that hath life also, and he by feeling feeleth both wealth and woe, by driving or drawing all day in the mire, many painful journeys hath he in hire. But after all those he hath always at night, these pleasures following to his great delight. First, fair washed at a river or a weir, and straight brought to a stable, warm and fair, dry rubbed, and chafed from head to heel, and curried till he be slick as an eel. Then is he littered in manner, nose high, and hay as much as will in his belly. Then provender hath he oats, peas, beans, or bread, which feeding in feeling as present to his head as to a covetous man to behold of his own Westminster Hall full of gold. After which feeding, he sleepeth in quiet rest during such time as his meat may digest. All this considered, a horse or a tree, if ye must choose the one, which would ye be?
When the horse must to labour, by Our Lady, I had liever be a tree than a horse, I.
But how when he resteth and filleth his gorge?
Then would I be a horse and no tree, by St. George.
But what if you must needs stick to the one?
Which were then best? By the mass, I can name none.
The first case is yours, and the next is for me. In case, like a tree, I may liken ye, for as a tree hath life without feeling, whereby it feeleth pleasing nor displeasing, and cannot be but contented quietly, even the like case is yours now presently. And as the horse feeleth pain and not the tree, likewise I have pain and no pain have ye.
And as a horse above a tree feeleth pleasure, so feel I pleasure above you in great sure. And as the tree feeleth neither, and the horse both, even so pleasure and pain between us twain goeth. Since these two cases so indifferently fall, that yourself can judge neither for partial, for indifferent end I think this way best, of all our reasoning to debar the rest, and in these two cases, this one question to be the issue that we shall join on.
Be it so.
Oh. Now, are these issues couched so nigh that both sides, I trust, shall take end shortly?
I hope and desire the same. And since we were first heard, we both humbly beseech ye that we in likewise may have judgment first.
I grant.
By the mass and I, come best or worst.
Though nature force man stiffly to incline to his own part in each particular thing, yet reason would man, when man shall determine other men's parts by indifferent awarding, indifferent to be in all his reasoning, wherefore in this part cut we off affection, so that indifferency be our direction.
Contented with that, and by aught I espy, we may in this matter take end quickly. Scan we their cases as she did apply them, that we may perceive what is meant by them. He loveth unloved a goodly one. She is loved not loving of an ugly one. Or, in his eye, his lover seemeth goodly, and in her eye, her lover seemeth as ugly. Her most desired angel's face he cannot see, his most loathly hellhound's face she cannot flee. He loveth, she abhorreth, whereby presence is his life, her death, whereby I say even this. Be his feeling pains in every degree as great and as many as he saith they be, yet, in my judgment, by these cases, hath she as great and as many feeling pains as he.
Huh? When matter at full is indifferently laid, as ye in this judgment have laid this now, what reason the time by me should be delayed? Ye have spoken my thought. Wherefore to you, in peacing your pains, my conscience doth allow a just counterpoise, and thus your pains be adjudged by us twain, one pain in degree.
Well, since your conscience driveth you thus to judge, I receive this judgment without grief or grudge.
And I, in like rate, yielding unto you twain, hearty thanks for this, your undeserved pain.
Now, mistress, may it please you to declare, as touching their parts, of what mind ye are.
With right good will, sir, and sure, I suppose, their parts in few words may come to point well. The two examples, which he did disclose, all errors or doubts do clearly expel. The estate of a tree his estate doth tell, and of the horse his tale well understand, declareth as well his case now in hand.
Mm.
For, as nothing can please or displease a tree, by any pleasure or displeasure feeling, nor never bring a tree discontent to be, so, like case to him, not loved nor loving, love can no way bring pleasing or displeasing. Live women, die women, sink women, or swim in all content, for all is one to him. And as a horse hath many painful journeys, a lover best loved hath pains in likewise, as here hath appeared by sundry ways, which showeth his case in worst part to arise. But then, as the horse feeleth pleasure in size, at night, in the stable, above the tree, so feeleth he some pleasure as far above ye. In some case he feeleth much more pleasure than ye, and in some case he feeleth even as much less. Between the more and the less, it seemeth to me that between their pleasures no choice is to guess. Wherefore, I give judgment in short process. Set the one pleasure even to the other.
Oh.
Yea, I must needs assent that she in these words hath given right judgment, in affirmance whereof I judge and award both these pleasures of yours as one in regard.
Well, since I think ye both without corruption, I shall move no matter of interruption.
Nor I. But, mistress, though I say naught in this, may I not think my pleasure more than his?
Affection unbridled may make us all think that each of us hath done other wrong, but where reason taketh place, it cannot sink, since cause to be partial here is none us among. That one head that would think his one wit so strong, that on his judges he might judgment devise, what judge in so judging could judge him wise?
Well, mine estate right well contenteth me.
And I with mine as well content as ye.
So should ye both likewise be contented, each other to see content in such degree as, on your parts, our judgment hath awarded, your neighbour in pleasure like yourself to be. Gladly, to wish Christ's precept doth bind ye. Thus, contentation should always prefer one man to joy the pleasure of another.
True, and contention may be in like case, although no health yet help, and great relief in both your pains, for ye, having such grace to be contented in sufferance of grief, shall, by contentation, avoid much mischief, such as the contrary shall surely bring you pain, to pain as painful as your pain is now. Thus, not we four, but all the world beside, knowledge themselves or other in joy or pain, hath need of contentation for a guide. Having joy or pain, content let us remain. In joy or pain, of other fee we disdain. Be we content, wealth or woe, and each for other, rejoice in the one and pity the other.
Since such contentation may hardly accord in such kind of love as here hath been meant, let us seek the love of that loving Lord who, to suffer passion for love, was content, whereby his lovers, that love for love are sent, shall have in fine, above contentation, the feeling pleasure of eternal salvation. Which Lord of Lords, whose joyful and blessed birth is now remembered by time, presenting this accustomed time of honest mirth, that Lord we beseech, in most humble meaning, that it may please him, by merciful hearing, the state of this audience, long to endure, in mirth, health, and wealth, to grant his pleasure.
In A Play of Love by John Heywood, the lover not loved was played by Gia Madlan. The woman beloved not loving by Gillian Horgan. The lover loved by Simon Nader. And the vice, who was neither lover nor loved, by Robert Crichton. The announcer was Rob Myson. A Play of Love was produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond Shakespeare podcast.